Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
America has become a reproach in the world. The walls are broken down, the gates are burned. Boy, this is very appropriate for the first Sunday of the year 2016. It came to pass that when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. His prayer, he looked to God. Nehemiah knew to look to God. He was an officer in the court of a Persian king, Artaxerxes. He was the cupbearer. He was one of the men that the king trusted the most. And God had burdened his heart for his homeland, for Jerusalem, for Zion. His brother comes, he asks his brother, "How is it in the city?" And he said, "It's a bad way, Nehemiah. The gates are burned, the walls are down. The people are a reproach to the people of the world. People scoff and people laugh at Jerusalem and the God of Jerusalem." That touched, that grabbed Nehemiah's heart, and he became burdened. So burdened that according to chapter 2, he even looked sick. And he was not to look that way before the king. He wept. He fasted. For 4 months, he prayed to the God of heaven, "God, do something." Let's read his prayer very quickly. Verse 6 says, "Let thine ear be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned." He prayed and he confessed. He prayed and he confessed personal sin and he confessed national sin. We have national sins in the United States of America. Abortion's one of them. You realize the economy would be all different, altogether different right now if there were another 60 million people here living and working and breathing and thriving in this country of ours. But we've got the blood of 60 million people on our hands, and it's legal. We have national sins. Sodomy, same-sex union, is now legal in the United States of America. That's hard to even say. It's now the law of the land. It's unbelievable. The sins of our country are no different than the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the sins of the antediluvian period in Noah's day, and God judged the earth because of that. Here we are. Someone's got to go to God in prayer. Someone has got to pray and pray night and day and confess our national sins. First of all, confess our personal sins and ask God to do more here than he has ever done before. Fundamental Baptist Church, we got a lot right, but we don't have everything right. And the lot that we do have right, we don't have right all the time. It's a constant struggle. We're not a perfect church, and we won't be until we get home to heaven. But in the meantime, you can't just throw up your hands and say, "I quit." You can't just take your ball and go home like the proverbial little spoiled brat on the playground. Man, you got to be busy working for God. There are people outside these four walls that are lost right now this morning, and they want to hear the truth. And you're the only one that's going to rub shoulders with them. You're the only one that's going to have conversation with them this week that knows the truth. And God has called you to be a light in this world in which we live. More can be done this year than has ever been done before if we just get a little bit of a burden like Nehemiah had. He's going to ask God to do the impossible. He is going to ask his king, pagan king, for a leave of absence. That's going to take a while. And he's going to ask to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. He's going to ask his king for papers so the keeper of the forest will provide all the building materials needed free of charge. He's going to ask the king for a military escort. He's going to stand before the king and put his life in peril that he might get the work of God done. Let's continue to read. Verse 7 says, "We have dealt very corruptly against thee, That's America. Hey, that's me. And have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. There's some repentance going on here. You know what Nehemiah is saying? We've left the Bible. We no longer have obeyed. We no longer obey the word of God. That's why we are in the condition that we are in. Remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I'll scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, I beg thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Some of the memoirs of Nehemiah, written by way of inspiration. He confessed their national sin. He said, God, I know why we're in the condition we're in. It's no secret. We have disobeyed you. We have not followed the ways of the Lord. Therefore, you took us into captivity. Therefore, the walls are broken down. The gates have been burned with fire and everything. And we are a reproach unto all the people of the world. And you said you'd do this. We went ahead and disobeyed anyway. And here we are. But God, you're a merciful. You're a God that's full of grace. You also said, if we'd repent, you'd take us back. You'd bring us home. You'd prosper. With that burden on his heart and that prayer on his lips, he stands before King Artaxerxes, chapter 2. To stand before the king and displease the king meant you would lose your head. All that would have to happen was the king to take his scepter and lower it in that direction. Guy's dead. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, that's the month of April. By the way, 4 months of praying and fasting and burden. It was out of his hands. The only thing he could do was pray. Jerusalem was a long ways away, some 800 miles. All he could do was pray. By the way, if you can pray, you can do enough. If you can pray, you get the attention of God, no matter what your burden. In the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. And now I had not been before time sad in his presence. And wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. The burden that Nehemiah was carrying physically affected him. He was trying to look his best, but he didn't look good. The king noticed it. He said, this is sorrow of heart. Now, it says that Nehemiah then became afraid because he knew he was a breath away, a hand motion away from losing his life. And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. He shot a little prayer towards heaven. The king says, what is it you need? What is it you want? What is it you desire, Nehemiah? Nehemiah is still afraid in his heart, and he says, oh God, this is it. God, this would be wonderful. And if you just hear my prayers. Verse 5 says, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? I'm sure Nehemiah's heart was just a beaten. And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let the letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. A pagan king is going to finance the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah, 800 miles from home, prayed and asked God for the impossible. The year 2016 is before us. Do you have a prayer-answering God? Do you have a God that hears the prayers of his children? Do you have a God that makes a way when there is no way? How about you get just a little bit of the faith that Nehemiah had? Now, it wasn't just a simple prayer before he ate. It's 4 months of burdened prayer. He fasted, he pleaded, he went to God consistently, day and night, the scripture says, confessing the sins of his people, repenting of his own sins, and claiming the promises of God. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Claim the promises of God. You're sitting in a church this morning, a group that is the largest group of Bible fundamentalists gathered together north of the Traverse City, Gaylord, Mid-Lower Peninsula corridor there. It's the biggest group. That means we have the most responsibility. That means we have the greater open door. Ask God for the impossible. Ask God to do in your home what needs to be done. Now you need to obey him along the way. Ask God to do in this ministry what needs to be done. I need people praying that hard and that real. Because this preacher, if I have a shortcoming, exclamation mark, all right? All right. One of them is my prayer life. I pray all the time. I try to pray all the time. I've got a prayer closet. I have a regular time with God, but I feel like it's not enough. I feel like I'm not before him enough. And I try to pray for people by names, and I pray through our church directory, and if it weren't for that, man, I wouldn't know hardly anybody's name here. I mean, because we continue to multiply. God continues to bless. We had a family come forward last Sunday. They're getting baptized tonight. A man named Justin got saved last Thursday night. Was it Thursday night? Last Sunday night. Got born again. So these are new people getting saved. More names. That's exactly what I was thinking when I was trying to remember. Oh man, more names. You know, and try. But we there needs to be a people. There needs to be a group of people that will storm the throne of heaven in prayer, in humility, and ask God for great things. Ye have not, because ye ask not. God raises up a leader in chapter 1. It had been 90 years since the first group had returned to Jerusalem. Since the walls were broken down. Man, there was a lot of difficulties there. There were things going on that just wasn't right. But God raised up a leader. And then God supernaturally provided. When God calls, he does provide. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When he calls you, he'll provide for you. We've got a big job in front of us. Look at chapter 2 and verse 19. I'm skipping a lot. Can't cover a lot of detail. I just want to get through a few chapters here. But when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Why will ye rebel against the king?" Which was a lie. Then answered I them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." Look back up at verse 17. I'll read that and then I'll read verse 18. And before I read it, let me say this. There will always be those that oppose the work of God. Always. Man, outlove your skeptics and outlive your enemies. There will always be those that know a better way, those that will be Monday morning quarterbacking, and they'll criticize you every step of the way. That will always happen. There was opposition from without, and we're not going to have time to read it this morning. There was opposition from within, even the Jews within the land. So there was difficulty. So God raised up this leader. Verse 17 says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are now, or that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach." Nehemiah is the encourager. "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." The opposition started. And next verse, that's where you read of Sanballat and Tobiah. But Nehemiah chapter 3, he is the encourager. Verse verse 2. I just want you to notice a couple of words. And it's going to be mentioned over and over again in this text. Verse 2 says, "And next unto him, builded the men of Jericho. Verse 4, and next unto him repaired, and verse 5 or 6, the old gate repaired, and it goes, and verse 7, and next unto them repaired, and verse 8, and next unto him, verse 9, and next unto them, and next unto them, verse 10, and over again, shoulder to shoulder, the people of God had a mind to work. There is a job for everyone in the work of God. There is a job, there is a ministry for you right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. We got so much going on, I can't, you know, just three of us can't do everything. No how, no way. Bless God. Thank God for those that worked at the Heritage Building just this last week. I'm thinking about the people, the men and the women that were out there working. And I was thought about this morning. If I'm remembering right, that's the Heritage Center. That helps the next generation of what we're all about here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And the people that were there working, none of them had any skin in the game. That I can recall, none of those people had kids of the age that would be out there. Oh, there's different things that the building's used for, but I mean, for the most part. But thank God for servants of God that are all around us doing the work of God. And we're to work shoulder to shoulder. There is a work, there is a ministry, there is a job for you to do. I hope you understand that. Verse chapter 4, again, more opposition. But verse 6, Nehemiah's answer to that was, so we built the wall. They continue to build. There's a conspiracy, a federation that goes on in verses 7 through later on in the chapter. And these are people, they're just trying to get the work to stop. They're trying to get people to come down from the wall. They're doing everything they can. They're lying. They're telling half-truths. They're threatening physical harm. Whatever it takes, they're saying they're going to send false reports back to the king. Anything they can do to stop the work of God. That's how the devil works. Anything he can do to stop the work of God, he's going to do it. He's not going to follow any kind of rules. He's going to do anything. He'll join the church if you let him. He's going to do anything he can do to stop the work of God. And this opposition arises. And Nehemiah says, man, we can't come down. There's no way. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 16. Just skip all the way over to verse 16. Yea, also I continued in the work of the wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Boy, I'm doing a lot of summarizing here, but again, you see over and over. Here's what happens. Every time opposition comes, here's how Nehemiah responded. He prayed to God, and he continued to work. They said, come on down from the wall, Nehemiah. We're going to have an important meeting. Maybe we can get you some help from some of the neighboring people groups. Come on down. He said, oh no, I can't come down. The work is too important. He prayed to God and he continued the work. They threatened to attack. He armed the men. They had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And they continued the work. They got the walls rebuilt in 52 days. Look at verse 15 of chapter 6. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. Nehemiah asked God for an impossible thing, and God answered his prayer. Nehemiah didn't sugarcoat anything. He understood they were guilty of sin, of disobeying God. He said, oh God, forgive us as a nation. Oh God, forgive me as a man. I repent of my sin. We're here because we put ourselves here. But God, you said that if we'd repent, that you'd gather us back. And I'm claiming that promise. 2016 is in front of us. 12 months of opportunity, of open doors. 12 months of the power of God. There's so much that needs to be done. In the closing moments of this message, before I get to the last passage, I just want to share with you some of my vision for the year 2016. I wanted to build on the auditorium. We've been wanting to build on the auditorium, but you can only do what you can do. So plan B. Unless God provides supernaturally in the meantime. There's certain things that have to be done physically. And I'll get to that. But here's what I want to do. I want to build a second congregation. I want to do it on Sunday morning. I want to have an early service. I want to fill the building up twice. And for that to happen, these two guys are going to do a lot more preaching. But that's what we'll do. I have a goal of 150 people in the early service. And I don't want 150 people out of this service. I want another one, another congregation for the glory of God. That'll take some of you people helping, but we'll build an early service. Have Sunday school and then have the 11 a.m. service. So it'll be one service, Sunday school, and another service and Sunday school in between. See, are there enough people in Chippewa County to get that done? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They may not be packed out there shoulder to shoulder. This may not be a metropolitan area, but it'll get done. By the way, tonight I'm preaching 10 reasons why I love pastoring a country church. 10 reasons why I love pastoring Fundamental Baptist Church. We're going to get it done for the glory of God. It'll take some vision. It takes a burden. And take some vision. It's going to take some sweat. And it's going to take some people working shoulder to shoulder. But we'll get it done for the glory of God. And then when that is finished, maybe we can afford to build on when we need to build on. I'd like to add 5 more missionaries to our mission budget. We're doing fine. Man, our head's above water. God is blessing us. And we're doing fine. So we're going to have to increase a little bit. Canaan land, we wanted 400 campers last year, and we were under that. But let's get that 400 campers, and we've got a few more. In fact, we've got a new church coming already that wasn't there last year. It's a little bit of a vision. I love Canaan land, and I love the summertime. And Canaan land's the reason I love summertime. I don't love summertime because it's time to cut the grass. I love summertime because I can go out to Camp Canaan land and drink coffee and walk around and do nothing and be a blessing to people. I love that. And having kids come in from all over the state of Michigan and being a blessing to little churches from all over Michigan that can't afford to send their kids to the highfalutin camps. I love it. And I'm asking God for that to be done this year. We've got 5 more years to pay on our mortgage, I checked this week. I want to get out of debt completely. There's a way to do that. And you'll hear more about that in the future. When you think about what we've got here, and to be out of debt in 5 years, that's amazing. This building right here couldn't be rebuilt for $1 million. Old Fundamental Baptist Church can do it with God, but if we were to hire it done, it doesn't happen. That gymnasium out there is valued at over $750,000. The mission building over there, that's a $1 million building. I don't even know what exactly it is. There's 3 floors over there, and it's finished. We got our school buildings over here, the parsonage over there, the camp out there. I mean, God has blessed us. He's blessed us immensely. But there's more that's got to be done. And there's some things we can do this winter. We're upgrading the PA system. As a matter of fact, there are 2 more speakers, one back there and one back there right now. And they're not pointed right because we've got to get an adapter for the ceiling. Right now, if you're sitting right underneath them, they're turned down, they're pointed right at you. But what a difference those 2 speakers have made. So we're upgrading the sound system. I found out some of you have been sitting in the back not hearing what I'm saying. And you got big smiles on your face, and you love Pastor Rader, man. You just sit back there and... Now, I know some of you can hear what I'm saying, but others have told me, and usually it's older people, I can't hear a thing back there. You know, well, we're turning it up a little bit here, all right? I'd like to get the kitchen remodeled downstairs. There's no end to work that needs to be done. We got the catwalk done between the bleachers and the up above the locker rooms just this last week. Floor was refinished out there the week before. We got hand blowers, hand dryers out there in the bathrooms right now. And we're moving ahead. We're doing more. We say, well, what about Maplewood? Well, Maplewood's having a great year. It's far from perfect. What a good bunch of kids. We have our 2nd highest enrollment. I'd like to say I want 100 people there next year, 100 kids, but that's kind of crowded, 100 kids, isn't it? It kind of makes it a little bit tougher the way we are right now, But Maplewood isn't about necessarily getting big. Maplewood's about turning out champions for Christ. And right now, it's going on. We got some good people there. And I thank God for it. And there's more that needs to be done. We haven't arrived. If you've ever worked with teenagers, you know we haven't arrived. But my God is blessing us. I'm so grateful for all of that. Springtime, there's things that have to happen. We need bigger bathrooms. That's not adding on to the auditorium. Just bigger bathrooms. Bigger foyer, better nursery. All those things will happen in time. Here's what we need to do right now. Honor God. Be faithful. Some of you perhaps aren't inviting people the way you ought because, you know, how many can you invite? And we're shoulder to shoulder and we spin our tires, we lose a few people. Then we get shoulder to shoulder again, we spin our tires and we lose a few people. Now, the good news is people are being won to Christ. And I meet people all over the place that we've led to the Lord. And it's amazing the impact the church has had. But we got to get them coming to church on a regular basis. Well, let's get that second service going. That's the only way I see it happening right now. Unless some millionaire writes out a big check this winter. You know, other than that, man, this is how it's going to happen. We're going to be faithful. 2015 says in the book of Nehemiah, the people had a mind to work. By the way, after this was done, starting in chapter 8, revival comes. Revival comes. The word of God is preached again. The people of God get right with God. People outside the family of God, outside Jerusalem, and outside the Jewish nation, now they're coming to the Lord God Jehovah. Great revival comes. In the meantime, there needs to be someone with a burden. There needs to be someone with a passion. There needs to be someone that won't be denied. 4 months, that's about how much time we got left of winter. And praying, asking God for souls. You know what blessed my heart? I'm over time. I'll have to edit this off the radio, and that's fine. But last Sunday night, when the Miller family came forward to join the church and be baptized, and by the way, that is fruit directly from Reformers Unanimous. That whole family from RU. Not that the whole family went to RU, but that's what got them here. And they came forward, and he's a UPS driver. Boy, I'm excited for him. They're all going to get baptized tonight. And one day when we were out here working on the building, I told the guys, hey, I'll take you to lunch. Mike, was it you? Did you go to lunch? Oh, you skipped out, didn't you? Who was it? Greg, was it you? Nah, I never take you to lunch, no. What was I thinking? Who was it? Help me out. Did you go to lunch with us? Well, it was a mom. I never take her to lunch either. Who was it? So who was it? Russ, you were one of the ones. We went over to Pitt Red Yard for lunch. Yes, you were. I bought you a meal over there, didn't I? Yes, I did. Oh, breakfast. It was breakfast. Oh, yeah. Okay, now you remember. So anyway, we're over there and we're eating. And there are not a lot of people in the restaurant, but Jason King and Russ. We're sitting at the table, we're eating breakfast. Here comes a UPS truck. I thought to myself, boy, it'd be a great blessing if that was Mark out there coming in, because we'd have a contact with him. Come in with a chew. Sure enough, it's Mark Miller. And hey, Mark, hey, come on over. This is Russ. Oh, yeah, I met him at church. Yeah. And this is Jason, and these guys come to the church here. And then there was another guy over at another table. And then Marnie comes out from behind the counter, from out of the kitchen. I said, and I said, you know, Marnie comes to church as well. So he was surrounded with fundamental. What I'm saying is we're reaching a lot of people. And in every direction. I got out of the car at the supermarket this last week, and Deb was with me, and some old guy yelled across the parking lot from a rolled down window, and I said to Deb, you know who that was? No, I don't know who it was. Hey, I saw your commercial on TV. And he put his thumbs up like that. It was real good. I have no idea who it was. Wasn't familiar to me at all. I'm looking at him, man, I don't know who that guy is. We're reaching out in every direction. Let's get a second congregation. One congregation, but one church, but a second congregation, second service. Let's get it built up. I'm excited about doing that. I'm going to build another church, but it's going to be right here in the same walls. And it's going to be the same church, but we're going to build it again. And win as many people as we can to Christ. Get a burden. Honor God. Be faithful. God will do just like he did in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. After they get the walls rebuilt, the temple's rebuilt, Ezra finds a book. You know what it is? The Word of God. They build a big pulpit, and Ezra stands up on that pulpit and brings those scrolls up there and opens the book and reads the Word of God, and everybody stands. And while he's reading, they're saying amen, and great revival takes place. It can happen in the year 2016.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.